At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
It is time for our Looking Good, Feeling Great section. And today I'm joined by physiotherapist Rachel Garrett. Hello.
Hi.
And nutritionist and all-round good, keep fit type person, Louise O'Connor. Thank you both for joining me today.
You.
Thank you very much. Now we're going to concentrate today on keeping fit and losing weight for the elderly and infirm. So basically anybody that can't really get about to the gym or go out running and things like that. So if we can start with you, Rachel, I know that you very often help people do exercises in the chair.
Yeah, I love chair exercises. but you will be really surprised at how much you could actually do from the chair in terms of you can work your abs very, very hard. You can work your legs, your arms, you can do stretching. So you could, from chair exercises can be as simple or as hard as you want to make them. And they can include aspects of stretching for flexibility, strength, and endurance. You can actually use chair exercises to work for cardiovascular exercise as well.
Brilliant. If you have any questions for our experts, you can, of course, call on 952 78 4000 or email studio@tre.radio or WhatsApp 645 99 67 95. I have had an email actually from Chris in Torrevieja who wanted to say, I'm a man. Okay, congratulations. Hope you don't mind me joining in, but I just wanted to let you know that I've lost 4 pounds in 2 weeks thanks to your experts. So well done, Chris and Torrevieja.
Fabulous.
Yeah, we champion you. Well done, and thank you to the experts over the last couple of weeks. Do let us know how you're getting on. So how does it actually work then, Rachel? If somebody's listening at home and they are, it's difficult for them to move around, probably going for a walk is even difficult, what sort of exercises can they do in a chair?
You can really start from your feet up to your head, really. So start with your ankles. You're going to be turning your ankles. You might do some rotations of your ankles for flexibility. Then you might do some toe taps. So you're pushing your feet up and down, up. I'm doing it as I'm talking.
Yes, so am I.
So, yeah, so your feet are going up and down, and of course that exercise, I mean, it's a really simple exercise, just putting your feet up and down, up and down. That stimulates the muscles of the calf, which helps bring the fluid back to the heart. And you know how as you get older, sometimes people get very swollen ankles. And that's because they're not using the calf muscles enough to push the blood and the fluid back around the body. So if you're sitting, keeping those ankles up and down, the feet. So then with your legs, you might want to do some what we call a straight leg raise. So you're going to straighten your leg from the chair, get it as hard and as strong as you possibly can, tighten that knee. If you can, lift the leg up a little bit off the chair in a straight line. If you can't, just keep it tight. And when you're doing that, you've got your quadriceps being worked.
Your quadriceps?
Sorry, yeah, good point. So those big muscles in your thighs, and those are essential to enable you to walk, enable you to stand independently, to help with balance. You know, if those leg muscles are weak, you can have a lot of problems. Yeah, tummy exercises, you can just do a really simple exercise where you just squeeze your tummy in hard as you can, and then let go. and you're working your abdominals.
So it's not necessarily about making yourself sweat. It's not cardiovascular. It's just doing a little bit.
So, yeah, I mean, I would take a class like that, a chair exercise class, and we would take about 40 minutes to work through a series of, so we would work with the ankles, then we'd go to the knees, some straight leg raises, maybe some marching on the spot in the chair, so bringing the legs up and down. You could incorporate cardiovascular aspects to it, so you can do 5 minutes of really hard, fast, pretend you're running in the chair. And that's great fun. Yeah, it's great fun. We all run down to Portobello's in our chairs.
That's lovely that you do classes. Where do you do them?
That one I do, that's my voluntary bit at Isdabe, which is a Spanish nursing home, and I sort of tried to learn a bit of Spanish whilst I'm there, but it doesn't always work. But I can count now, that's one thing.
Well done. Yeah, I was talking to Dr. David Dearden on Thursday. We have a medical day on Thursday on the show, and he was saying about thrombosis, and he said you shouldn't sit in a chair for more than a couple of hours without moving your legs, because it's so dangerous. So I suppose if you are elderly or infirmed, you've got to think about that. You can't be sedentary.
No, absolutely.
Very important. And you were mentioning you have to get the blood going towards the heart. That's the important thing.
Yeah, so particularly for thrombosis and things like that, and swollen ankles and stuff like that, movement of the legs so that you're getting those calf muscles working, because you've got valves in the veins, but you haven't really got anything that actually pushes the blood back up to the heart. The way that the blood goes back, the heart will pump and the arteries and things will open and relax and squeeze. But from the bottom, the thing that actually pumps the fluid back up to our heart is the calf muscles. They're really essential.
Really? I didn't realise that.
They play a big part of it. So like going upstairs, you're really using those calf muscles and moving. Every time we walk, we are pumping the calf muscles.
Yeah.
But of course, if we're just sitting still, then that fluid just pulls at the ankles.
Yeah, of course.
And I think, you know, if people do have to sit for long periods of time, yes, you know, keep the ankles going. But if you want, you know, otherwise, get your legs up, elevated above your knees.
Okay.
So your feet are higher than your knees.
And is breathing important as well? Because I know it is, yeah, if you're doing exercises normally, if you're going out or you're going to the gym. If you're in the chair, is breathing just as important?
Yeah, we do a lot of work on taking deep breaths, taking slow breaths. We'll do some different kind of breathing exercises to stimulate the activity of the diaphragm, which is the big breathing muscle under your lungs. We do lots of different types of breathing exercises. So from slow, deep, relaxed breathing to little fast breathing patterns that you can use when you're getting out of breath. So something called pursed-lip breathing that we did when we were walking up that hill the other day.
Yes, we did.
We're all pursed-lip breathing because we needed to.
Yes, I'm very good at pursed-lip breathing now. Okay, Louise, I want to bring you in at this point, because I know that you do a lot of keep fit, et cetera, as well. But you also are very good with nutrition. And if you're in your more mature years, should you have different nutrition if you want to lose a bit of weight and be healthy than a younger person, say?
In elderly, healthy individuals, we know that energy requirements do decrease with age. This is due to body composition, loss in lean muscle mass, which is muscle, and also we have an increase in fat tissue, unfortunately, which in turn does decrease the BMR. So we do require less calories.
Oh, okay, you require less. Okay, there is something good about getting older.
Yeah. And also, generally, the level of physical activities do decrease as well, so that'll have a big input into what we actually put into our bodies. Obviously, looking at it from two different perspectives, if somebody is carrying an increase in body weight, obviously, at a health reason, that's going to put more impact on mobility joints, such as your knees and hips, and particularly if they carry a lot of weight around the waist, that's going to give them a higher risk of heart disease, strokes, cancer, and type 2 diabetes. There is actually specified requirements for older people. This is due to their ability to digest, to absorb, and to metabolise and excrete the nutrients, which I'm going to run through in a minute. But I always emphasise that this should always be the fruit and vegetables on each plate.
Of course. Yeah.
So one of the vitamins what's recommended is vitamin D, which we don't tend to have a shortage here in Spain. But me and Rachel was speaking, wasn't we, earlier, and Rachel was telling me that there is actually a deficiency here, which is really
I've heard that. One of our doctors said that.
Yeah,
strange. Amazing.
So if that is the problem and people aren't being able to get out and about into the sunlight, then a requirement of 1,000 to 3,000 of a dose of vitamin D daily would be recommended. However, you can get the food sources of vitamin D. I'm just looking at something on the TV of the older people.
Yeah, exercising. They're doing exercises in their chairs on Sky News. Oh, looking good, feeling great with Sky News and just the lifestyle show.
Yeah, vitamin D foods such as oily fish, eggs and fortified cereals. You can get plenty of vitamin D from that. Another one is folate. Low levels of folate are also highly associated with mental illness such as Alzheimer's. This comes inside with B6 and B12. These all together can actually prevent hip fractures in general from falls. Again, this is going to reduce the risk of fractures. So again, foods such as liver, oranges, pulses, green leafy vegetables, and yeast extract is a good way to incorporate into your diet, what I'd recommend for the older people. Oily fish, we all know about the three fatty acids, what we need. Again, these are great for people who suffer from rheumatoid arthritis, and it also helps preserve eye function. It also prevents cognitive decline, and it'll increase the immune system, which is all vital for as we're getting older. Again, if people can't have oily fish twice a week, then a supplementation of 1 to 2 grams would be recommended. Constipation, unfortunately.
Yeah. If you're quite sedentary.
Because of the slow digestive system. Again, incorporating fibre into your diet is a big one, such as beans, veggies, along with an increase in liquids if you are going to uptake your fibre. And probably the last thing is probably osteoporosis. We all know that the first 30 years is vital for us to get all the required calcium and minerals to protect our bones for the rest of our life. So it is a big note to any parents out there to make sure that all the children are getting enough calcium and protein, particularly around the adolescence period. This is really important. But I will say with the exercise, resistance training is probably just as important as your diet. It's huge as the resistance training.
So that's what stimulates the bone cells.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But to safeguard the bones, you would be required to eat enough protein. So I recommend lean protein with every meal, 5 to 6 fruit and veg a day, making sure we get that in. Vitamin K is also important, and zinc for healthy bones. Calcium, again, is vital, which we can get from our dairy products. If people don't have dairy or they're intolerant, then things like soya, rice, oat milk, along with tofu and things like that. Tinned fish is a really good one. Sardines.
Because they're oily, is it? Is it because they're...
Yeah. It's got the omega-3. Wow. It's a really... It's easy to eat. It's an easy meal. So if somebody isn't steady on the feet, something like sardines on toast is... nothing wrong with sardines on toast.
Mackerel on toast is nice.
So simple foods, green leafy vegetables, almonds, sesame seeds, good old baked beans.
Yeah.
And now we are lucky to have calcium-fortified breads. So that's always good. So again, if you was to work with somebody as an older client, then sardines on some fortified calcium bread is a winner.
Perfect.
And then bearing in mind, we did discuss the vitamin D. Vitamin D is required for calcium absorption.
Yeah.
So it's the kind we were speaking earlier about that most things do actually come in pairs. So vitamins work along with vitamins, just like hormones do. There's always one pulling the other.
Right.
That's really it. I think it's more about just getting for optimal health. We all know that fruit and vegetables, we need that for optimal health. If you want to have optimal health, you've got to eat fruit and vegetables. That's where we get all our vitamins and minerals
from. What would be your advice on, you know, juicing versus real? What would you...
The thing is with real food is, of course, you have the breakdown of enzymes, which is more beneficial, and you have the fibre content.
Yeah.
A lot of the juices take away the fibre. However, I've got like a two-sided coin here. I think you should eat food the way it is and digest it, chew it, enjoy it because it's more enjoyable. However, for somebody who says, you know what, Louise, you're telling me to get in 8-10 portions of fruit and vegetables a day. It's a really easy way to get vegetables and fruit into a diet. So really, and I always say to my clients, you know, probably the first meal of your day sets you off on the right track. So if somebody did, I sometimes have like a spinach, lime, cucumber, apple juice in the morning. And that's kind of like my, I know I've had four. So if it falls a little bit bad during the day, it doesn't really matter because I know in the evening I'm going to be having a salad with some fish or and I've like hit my 10. So it is a really good way to get in. Again, for people who struggle, it's generally a good tool to have for if people do struggle with it. Same with things like protein. It's a massive micronutrient what most people do fail on because most foods are moreish or carbohydrate, fat-based. Yeah. You don't often see a person eating a whole chicken because it's just not moreish enough. Yeah. So, again, things like protein powders, do I think they're brilliant? Do I think they're essential? No, it's a blended up piece of chicken. But if you are busy and you're out and about, again, for like older people, especially if they haven't got the teeth or the digestive system isn't great, it would be a good way to like a scoop of protein with the juice. So it really is down to the individual and people's lifestyles. You know, most people are busy, so it all goes in. If people can food prep and be organised and prepared, to be honest with you, it really is down to an individual choice.
And if any of our listeners are thinking, well, okay, I know now that I need to have a lot of protein in my diet, what would be an example apart from chicken? What else could they have?
For your lean protein, I always suggest like a palm size. It's generally, your main aim should be around 25 to 35 grams per meal. So for me today, that's someone said, what does 35 grams of protein look like? So it would be a typical piece of chicken breast or a piece of turkey. So again, protein is, if you're looking at food, generally, if I say sausages, people would say, ah, it's meat, it's protein. It's actually more fat dense than protein.
It's nothing good in
sausages. So we have to really go for like, what is protein? Again, salmon, great source of protein and also a great source of fat. So if you're looking at single ingredients foods, you've got all your fishes, your white fish, eggs, great, all your dairy products, nothing wrong with a glass of milk. It's really good for older people because it's easy for them. They can have a warm glass of milk and it probably makes them sleepy. And that's a good base of calcium and protein. So it's all in one. So it's just making the right food choices. Yeah. If anyone's embarking on a fat loss journey, then you would have a tendency to go over to leaner choices of protein.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. A good point you made, Rachel, on juicing. I'd got that written down as well because it's the only way I can eat fruit. I just do not like fruit.
Yeah.
But we juice every morning. We don't have the vegetables in it. We have like orange. We do actually, that's a lie. Out of my hat again. carrots. We have carrots, oranges, pineapple. We always have ginger in there. And people have said to me, oh, it's not the right way to do it. All you're getting is all the sugar. But I think to myself, if it's that or nothing, surely I'm getting a bit of goodness. Yeah. But is it bad? Is it really bad? Is the sugar... Because we throw away all the pulp and have the... I'm not doing any good. Is it not worth it?
No, to be honest with you, do you know anyone who got fat from eating fruit?
No.
Did you know anyone who lost teeth from eating fruit?
No.
There you go. It's loaded with vitamins and nutrients, what we require for optimal health. And if it's the only way, you've got to look on like the flip coin. If you are not going to sit there and eat an orange and an apple and a bunch of grapes during the day, then it's working for you. You're getting the vitamins and minerals. So there's no right or wrong in the situation. But fruit is good for you.
I guess I'm just devil's advocate, you know what I'm like. I guess the only problem is if you do... Because if you eat like four oranges, you'll be full up. If you ate three apples,
yeah, you would do. Yeah,
and some of the problems with juicing is you can put so much in.
Yeah, and it goes to just a little amount.
I mean, I know a lot of people who will drink a liter of orange juice a day, and actually, that is a lot of orange juice to be drinking a day.
Yeah.
So I get it. I think you are obviously it's got to be better than nothing.
Yeah.
But again, don't go mad.
No.
You can overdose on vitamin C.
I think is. You've got to have variety. If I ask you the question, do you have the same juice every day? Most people probably only eat 20 foods. That's all we actually have. So it's always a good idea to say, okay, Monday, Tuesday, I'm going to have spinach in it this time. Wednesday, I'm going to try, go to the supermarket, pick up a different fruit and a vegetable.
Yeah,
things
a good
like
idea.
Spinach, kale. If you've got like really strong like berries in there, it'll kill the taste.
Mm.
And it's always just getting that variety, because if you looked at an orange and an apricot, they're both highly nutritious, but they both contain very different vitamins and minerals in it. So it's all about having the variety. So if somebody was on a juicing and said, this is the only way, I say, okay, fine, nothing wrong with that. Vary it.
Yeah, just good vary idea. I never
add
thought
different
about spinach.
Things in it. And celery, you know, all these little, like you said, with the ginger's great.
Turmeric, that's a good thing to put in, isn't
so
it?
So just sit there, plan it on a Sunday night and just have your different... and. It's all trial and error. You might go, oh, this is vile. It doesn't matter. We all know if we make a meal one night and everyone enjoys it, it's like, winner, that's it. And it's there in like your little recipe book. It's there, oh, we're going to make that tonight because it was a success. It's just the same with your juices. Just try different varieties and go with the fruits of the season.
Brilliant. I like that idea. I like that idea. And, of course, milk is important as well for people of a certain age, like women of a certain age going through the menopause. That's important, isn't it? Milk, because of the risk of osteoporosis and things like that. I had had an email in, made me laugh. It said, "Dear diet, things just aren't going to work between us. It's not me, it's you. You're tasteless, boring, and I can't stop cheating on you." So I'll put that on the wall. Is there anything else, Rachel, we can do? Some people might, I guess, not, you know, they might be a little bit more mature, or they might have a few problems, a few ailments, but they might not be chair-ridden and they might be able to go out. Yeah. But I guess even walking slowly, maybe walking the dog or going to the beach or something, it's got to do something for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I mean, every bit of exercise that you do will have a beneficial effect. And there actually really is no... there is no... little, too little, if you know what I mean. There's no situation that even a small amount is better than nothing. I think there's also some funny sort of research that's happening at the moment, which shows that our mindset about the activities that we do on a daily basis also influences the benefits that we get. So, for instance, if you understand that your dog walk, your half an hour dog walk, is part of your exercise guidelines, and that you know, if you do your dog walk every day, you're getting your moderate activity, exercise, 150 minutes. So if you understand that actually that dog walk is part of your exercise and is beneficial, the improvements that you get cardiovascularly and weight loss are actually greater than if you don't know that.
Wow.
So thinking about the activity, so housework and all those sorts of things, if you understand how beneficial doing your housework is, how many calories you can burn from that particular piece of housework, how what the benefits are on the heart of doing the hoovering the stairs and all of this, once you start to understand, you learn about that, the weight loss gains are greater in people who've been educated about the benefits of the exercise that they do, the activity that they do, compared to people who are not educated, and they think it's a kind of exercise placebo effect.
Okay, it's about positive thinking,
yeah,
I suppose.
I know, it's fascinating. So it's basically our brain saying, hey, actually, this is good for me. So then the brain gets everything to start doing what it should do. The brain's engaging with the activity, and it works. It's more effective than if you don't engage your mindset around it.
And that's the other thing that you have to keep exercised as you get older as well, isn't it? Your brain, do crosswords, do word searches, do just keep your mind active.
But also physical exercise is essential for brain health, because the problem is if you don't move, you don't get those bloods coming around the brain as much as it can, and the oxygen and the nutrients and the hormones that help the neurons grow. So cardiovascular exercise is very useful for brain health, but also resisted. They put hamsters in those wheels and they measured the hippocampus, an area of the brain, and they found that the hamsters with the wheels in and doing all the exercise had bigger hippocampi than the ones who weren't doing the exercise.
What, a hippocampi?
Part of the brain, basically.
Right.
Layman's
terms.
Hippocampi. Part of it, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, if Rachel, if anyone's listening and wants to find out more about you, or maybe wanted to contact you to help them, do you have any contact details or a website or a Facebook page?
Yes, I have a Facebook page, Rachel Garrard, or Better Breathing for Life. It's probably easiest to phone me. I've got a Spanish mobile phone, so that's +34. And then it's 65228 1122.
That's a long number. Is that right?
65 652.
Yeah.
281 122.
That's correct. Thank you.
I just did it. I've just memorized it in a strange way.
I can never remember mine. Ever.
And my email, Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, Garrod, G-A-R-R-O-D, and the number one at gmail.com.
At gmail.com. If anyone's driving, don't worry, I've just written that down so you can find it from me later. And the same for you, Louise.
Yes, they can find me on my website. It's www.fnlcoach.com or Facebook, FNL Coach, and also email Louise at fnlcoach.com.
And I have that all as well. Thank you both so much for joining us. It's been great to have you on the show, Rachel Garrod and Louise O'Connor. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.